Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, folks. This is Dave Schmidt, and I'm your host here again tonight on the Sedona Connection. I want to thank everybody for joining us here tonight. It is 6 p.m. here on the West Coast. It is 9 p.m. on the East Coast here in the United States. And wherever you may be around this big, wide, wonderful world, joining us here tonight. And at my home in Sedona, Arizona, if you've been hearing about the news here in the Southwest, we're having this gigantic heat wave. Been about the highest temperatures we've had in about 20 to 25 years. Yeah, it got up to 120 degrees in Phoenix today, but I don't live in Phoenix. I'm about 2 hours north, and we're at a much, much higher elevation, but I did hit 109 degrees here today, so I've been inside all day today, you know, kind of enjoying the good air conditioning that we're having here. So also, I just want to make a quick comment about that. Blanca won't be with us at the very beginning of the program tonight. She has had some car problems with her and her husband. She's having to arrange to pick him up, so she will try to join us later in the program, but she won't be here. So, also, the announcement, I'm back on live streaming on YouTube. So, folks, if you're here watching on the radio program, I want to see what we got going on over here. If you're maxing out and you can't get through, you know, you may want to go over to, you go to YouTube, and then you go to the Dave Schmidt channel, and you'll be able to go into and catch what is called the live streaming that is there, okay, on the YouTube channel, because we have that going on as well here, basically tonight. And hold on just a second here. Would you be with me for a second? I'm going to move my computer screens around a little bit because, see, when I'm looking at other stuff instead of looking right at the camera, because basically what I'm doing, I'm watching the computer screens that I got going on around here, okay, because I got these two big gigantic screens in front of me. But there we are. That's all kind of set up in a good way now where I can enjoy this here tonight and always enjoying having all of you here with us as we're joining the program here going tonight. So I'm also looking at another little computer screen down here, so all is well. What are the issues that are developing? Well, first of all, I did just recently send out a newsletter that registration is now open for the workshop in Louisville, Kentucky. So I am doing two of those at the same time where the registration is open for both Philadelphia on July 8th and Louisville, Kentucky on July 15th. Normally, folks, I only take registrations for one workshop at a time. I usually open up those registrations right around 3 weeks prior to the event. So don't go sending me emails down me for, hey, can I be put on the list or, you know, for one that's so crazy. I don't do that. But I did last night in the newsletter that I sent out, I basically gave an update for the rest of the year. And what we have is that we've got Denver and Sedona coming up in August, but then we also have Orlando in September 9th. I wrote down September 9th. Yeah, I hope that's right. It's on the website. Okay. September 9th in Orlando. And I have been being asked for well over 2 years, people saying, would you please come to Europe? Would you please come to Europe? And yes, I'm going to do that. We're going to be in Europe. Amsterdam on September 23rd. And folks, I mean, for those of you here in the United States, if you want to plan a vacation, that's a good time to go there because the tourist season is pretty much done as it is after the Labor Day season, but they haven't gotten into the cold weather of the winter yet. So that's a great time if you want to take a vacation there. September 23rd in Amsterdam. And I chose that because it's fairly centrally located for basically all of the countries of England, France, you know, Spain, Switzerland, Germany, Netherlands, Belgium, Denmark, even coming down from Sweden. So would love to have you in all those places. Then also after that, we have October 14th in Santa Ana, California. And hold on, I just had a text come in. I just want to check and see because sometimes this lets me know a little bit of what's going on because usually I always have Blanca to tell me what's going on. There's 92 of you waiting. You know, I don't know what you're waiting on. I don't know what's going on here, okay? I'm doing fine. Everything is looking fine on the, you know, folks, if you can text me, if you can hear me on the radio, would you say that? If you are waiting for on the live stream, I don't know why. Everything in front of me is looking okay. Normally I have Blanca and we always do a sound check. But I wasn't able to do that, you know, here tonight because she wasn't available. But yeah, so that's I don't know what that text was coming through where it says 92 of you are waiting. Okay, I just got another one coming in from, hold on here, just let me take a look here. Everything is good. All right, thank you. Okay, all right, that was something else. So, folks, don't send me text about stuff that doesn't have to do with the program. I don't know I'm doing the program, okay? Because if a text comes in, I know it's a very limited few people that can text me, and I'm going to go around checking that, okay? So, all right. Okay, so I'm going to go back, and I'm going to say Orlando, September 29th. Amsterdam, September 23rd. Santa Ana, California, October 14th. Dallas, Fort Worth, November 3rd. Minneapolis on November 18th. And Atlanta on December 9th. That's the schedule that I have for the rest of the year. I also had said, you know, in the newsletter put out today, if you want a workshop in your area, I'm always willing to come, but you have to guarantee that I'm going to have at least 25 full-paying attendees. I got to cover my expenses, folks. Believe me, I'm not going to come and lose money. I just can't afford to do that, okay? And remember, I've got it costs me usually between $2,500 to $3,500 to come and do a workshop. And I also have to make money out of that to pay all my bills because this is how I make a living, okay? So I'm always I can't just absolutely go just anywhere at any time, okay? It says it has YouTube that has 75 waiting, and I'm sorry, no. I'm looking at my YouTube and it says 93 watching now, folks. So I don't know what it is where it says that you've got that many that is waiting. Hold on here just a minute. Let me go see if I can go to another part of this because I don't know why you guys are on waiting and why you're not. I'm showing that I'm live and I'm showing that I've got a number. That I've got 91 people that are watching it now. So I don't know what it is when you say that those of you that are on the waiting, I don't know why that is happening because hold on here just a second. Let me try one other thing. Let me do this. I'm going to go to the video manager and then I'm going to go to live streaming. Okay. It's live streaming now is what it has to say. So hold on. And I've got some text coming in. I don't know why you guys are waiting on YouTube because it. All I know is this tells me that I'm live. This tells me that I'm doing fine and live on YouTube. And so if you guys, it says you guys are waiting, I don't know. It tells me that I'm, okay, and I'm going, okay, all right. Okay, if you guys have got something that's waiting, you're basically not clicked into the right part of the YouTube channel because I've got lots of other people that are coming through and are just fine. Okay. All right. So we can then we're taking care of that. Let me go back and make the comments that so I can finish up what I was saying about the workshops. If you want me to come to your community, I'm more than willing to do that, but you need to basically ascertain to me that I'm going to have at least 25 full paying folks to be able to come there. Okay. Because that's what it takes. I can't afford to lose money. And that's what's happening with the one at Louisville. Normally I schedule them about every 3 weeks apart, but the one in Louisville is basically 1 week right after Philadelphia. It was because a gentleman there had stepped up and he said, yes, I can assure you that you'll have at least that many people there. But then I always open them up to anybody who wants to come as well. But that's the scoop. Okay. And always the reason I express the workshops is because you really get the full picture of everything that's going on here. You have full complete access to, we have extensive Q&As that will go on throughout the whole day that will last an hour to 2 hours sometimes. And I'm always willing to take anything that I can on the questions. I can give you the full background of what's going on. I can tell you the details of what's taking place as well. So basically all of that is what is available, you know, at the workshops that I just can't talk about here on the internet, and it's because of the confidentiality of my sources. Now, if you notice, I haven't been here on YouTube for some period of time because I had basically had been asked to go quiet. Things are changing in a very, very positive manner. That's all I can say on that other than the fact that I can say that it's looking very, very good. But I do what I want to do is give you a little bit of an update so you can be very clear about what I'm talking about on this issue. I have a lot of great contacts that have very, very deep sources, and all of us agree on this. When you look at the type of money that is going to be released for these currency exchanges, you're not talking in the trillions, you're talking over $250 billion. For that kind of money to be released, and for the vast majority of it's going to be in the United States, you better believe that the United States government, i.e. through the U.S. Treasury and Homeland Security, are going to control how much of that money is coming in. You see, if they don't, it becomes a national security risk issue. I am familiar with some individuals who have thousands and thousands of boxes of dinar, which means they are going to get over $100 trillion, each one of them. And you have any type of an individual who has that kind of money, that's enough money that if two or three of them banded together, they could basically take over the world. That is a national security interest issue. That is why these funds are controlled by government entities, and predominantly the United States and China. They are going to control how much of this money is going to be released and when it is going to be released. Myself and all of my really top sources are very adamant on that, and you'll notice you do not hear about that anywhere else on the internet. They don't talk about that kind of stuff. They don't talk about, you know, who's really, where the money's really coming from, who it is that's paying them, how the sources, how they got their money. I talk about real people and real banks. It's very tangible with the real government that's controlling this stuff. And don't ask me why it hasn't been released, other than the fact that I can say, folks, for us at the everyday common level, folks, remember, we're an afterthought in this process. This isn't about us. It's not about taking care of our issues. There's a lot of you that email and say, oh, I'm hurting, and we really have some very deep needs here. Well, I'm sorry for all of you, but folks, you know, your needs aren't anywhere near close to the 4 billion people on this planet who live on less than $4 a day. And that's been going on for decades and decades and decades. So please don't come crying to me about your individual needs and why, you know, the government hasn't released the money so you can have your individual needs taken care of. This isn't about you and me. This is about the largest financial transaction in the history of the human race. This is about more money being released than ever been before. And this is about the fact that there are still very, very powerful people that are in huge opposition to this and are doing everything they can to stop it. So please put things into that perspective when you think about this. It's going to reach us when it reaches us. I don't have the control over that. I'm not the decision maker. And I don't have the ability to pick up the phone and tell the decision makers, you're supposed to do this. Believe me, they already know, and they hear from a lot of people. And I'm going to be very adamant about what I said. Remember, the real people with the real money never, ever, ever come onto the internet. They aren't going to come onto my program. You're not going to hear about them. You're not going to know who they are on the internet. Because, first of all, if they did that, they'd be risking their lives. They'd be exposing who they are and the involvement that is there. Because the real people that are really in control and charge of this stuff, they would basically shut down the people who have the power to release it if they could. And that's why you never hear about that, and that's why I never talk about my confidential sources. Why am I allowed to talk about it? Excuse me, my nose is really itching. I'm sorry about that. But why am I able to talk about that at this type of a confidential level? Well, I'm not at liberty to go in and tell you the reasons why, other than the fact that I know that they allow me to talk about things that very few other people can talk about. I know why. I just can't say it because it's a confidential issue. People will believe what they want to believe. If you want to believe what you're reading on the other sources on the internet, that is totally your choice. I'm going to talk about that more later here tonight. If you want to be able to think that, you know, you're going to get the 800 numbers, that's fine. You can believe that. I don't think you're going to get it. We can't find anybody who's funding that. If you think you're going to be able to take your ZIM in for exchange, I'm sorry, I think you're out of luck. Because we cannot, my funding sources, the people that I know of that are paying this, they're saying ZIM was done. It's done a long time ago. They are not taking in any new ZIM people. ZIM was a limited currency for a limited period of time for a limited number of people. Now, could things change? Things could possibly change. I'm telling you as things as they are right now at this time as I understand them. This is a constantly constantly changing scenario. So what I was saying 6 months ago to a year ago could be entirely different, you know, basically 2 weeks from now. All I know is the reports that I get from my sources are saying that basically they're right there, they're at the door, it is day to day, but once the word is given that the funds are ready to move, it's going to be at least 2 to 3 weeks before the people in the first round are even starting to receive them. I know there are reports of people saying, well, this person's been paid, that person's been paid. You know what? I keep hearing the reports, and I say, show me the money. I hear people have gotten paid, but I haven't found any hard, tangible evidence anywhere that funds have been released. Now, remember, I'm 2 phone calls away from the office that's in charge of all this. I pick up the phone, and I can talk to some people who are the largest currency brokers in the world. I have the ability to talk with the banks that are working with this at a very high level. These are the people that are in touch with the people who are in government offices who are making the decisions. And all of them have said, we haven't authorized anything for release yet. So you know what you want to say. Maybe somebody got paid because there was a flipper who paid them and he thinks he's going to be able to take it and go buy it somewhere else and get some money out of it. Can't tell you that. I don't know. All I know is I don't know anybody who's gotten paid anywhere at any time. Okay, so let's see. I had another text come in. I just want to double check on that. Okay, see what we got going on here. Okay, all right. Okay, so that's the scoop. That's the update of what we have there, folks, and that's what I can tell you for now is that it is a day-to-day, but you have to remember for round two, folks, you're looking at least 2 to 3 months out before it can even start. And that's 2 to 3 months after the round one is finished being paid. And that may take anywhere from 3 weeks to 6 weeks to finish that being paid. So plan on the fact that if you're in round two, you're not going to see anything for at least 3, 4, 5 months out. You should never, ever put yourself in a position where you're absolutely dependent upon this money coming through and you're going to be able to think that it's going to come through when you need it. What I say is don't quit your day jobs, folks. It's back to the fact that, again, you know, at our level, we don't have any control over this. It's what I refer to as what's called the other golden rule. Those who have the gold set the rules. Those who have the money are determining when, how, and they're in touch at a level that's international level for international security based on how this affects all the countries. And we're basically at the very bottom of the list of anything that goes on, and we're not priority items in this stuff. It will have a great impact on our lives, and it will have the ability for us to be able to be rewarded very well once it all comes through. Okay, so I'm trying to think now. Let me take a look at my notes and to see if there's anything that was in there that I need to cover on that. I can't think of anything else right off. Last couple of weeks, I was talking about the cryptocurrencies. And folks, I said, what I basically have done, I've kind of really, really pulled back from what I was involved in it myself as an investment side of it. Yes, I still have some money in it. But you're beginning to see that there's more and more stuff that's beginning to come out about the cryptocurrencies and that they basically are probably going to be the currency of the future. But the very, very positive thing for all of us, the cryptocurrency movement is what has the ability to really neutralize the power of the very corrupt central banking system all around the world. The banking system that has run and controlled things, ran and controlled the affairs of our lives, kept us in various forms of financial slavery, created wars and funded both sides to make all kinds of money, funding, you know, what is called the military, you know, industrial complex, and putting and creating, you know, financial ups and downs so that they benefit from it at our expense. That's going to begin to be neutralized because they're not going to have the money that they used to have in their banks to be able to control that type of a system. That's why the cryptocurrency system is going to be very positive. I know there's all kinds of opinions all over the map on cryptocurrencies. Some of you are very, very positive with it, but you need to do what you're comfortable with and what you believe in for you. There's a risk tolerance level in it if you want to get into the investment side of it. But what I would encourage is that when we all get funded, that we take a very good part of our money and put it into the system to be able to fund that system so it can expand and become stronger. Because, see, what's happening with the cryptocurrency movement is it's a process of something that happens on the Internet. And the governments can't control it. The banks can't control what's on the Internet. And the governments can't control what's on the Internet. Some of you have been sending me reports of bills that are being filed in Congress that are going to basically control. And we have to report all the money that we have, you know, in cash or in the cryptocurrency accounts when we go across the borders. But remember something, folks, that is a single bill. Remember, I was a state senator, so I understand the legislative process. 92% of all the bills introduced in Congress into law. When you look at a bill like that, it's one that's just so plain stupid to be able to implement it because they can't control it. It would end up backfiring on a lot of the businesses that are here in the United States, and it would hurt us far more than it would help. It was introduced by a single senator, and when I looked at the legislation, I think he only had two co-sponsors, and it's been assigned to a committee, and it hasn't even been scheduled for a hearing. Yet sometimes, you know, members of Congress, the senators or representatives, they introduce bills to do a favor to a constituent or to a lobbying group to make them feel good and says, well, I did my part to help support you, but you got to go out and now get the votes for it, you know. They'll introduce it just, you know, to kind of make, you know, the lobbyists feel good. It was probably introduced to make, you know, the lobbyists in the banking industry so the senator would make a statement to them and said, okay, all right, I've done my job. You know, but they got to go get the votes. And this is the type of thing that would have huge, huge, huge opposition to it. Personally, I don't see it even getting out of committee, let alone if they're even going to schedule it for a hearing in the committee. When a bill is introduced, it has to be voted on 7 times. You heard me right, 7 times before it becomes law. It goes to the committee. It has to be voted out of the committee. Then it goes to the rules committee, and it has to be voted out of that committee to come to the floor for the full body to vote on. If it's a Senate bill, the Senate, it votes in the Senate committee, then it's voted on the Senate rules committee, and then it's voted by the full Senate. That's 3 times. Then it goes over to the House and has to go through the same exact thing. It has to be voted out of the House committee. It has to pass out of the House Rules Committee to send it to the floor. Then it goes to the floor for the full House to vote on. And then after that, the 7th vote is the signature of the president. So it takes that is what his vote is. So see, it takes that 7 times before a bill becomes law. So, you know, so much of this stuff that's being introduced about the cryptocurrencies, I think a lot of it isn't going to go anywhere, because they're going to realize how stupid it is, because all they're going to do is shoot themselves in the foot, because you can't control what goes on the internet. That's what's nice about these cryptocurrencies, is that they are becoming kind of like an international currency that is not controlled by any individual country or any of the banking industry. Okay? All right. Let's see. I'm trying to see if Blanca has showed up. No, she hasn't showed up yet. So, okay, so I'm looking at my notes here. So what is it that I want to go in? I think I've kind of covered everything I wanted to do. I did my introductions. I talked about the workshops, especially in Europe. Oh, I wanted to say something. I had to go into my list because, you know, my active list, I have about 13,500 names in there. And when people sign up on that list, you know, they basically also tell me, you know, what country they are from. So I can download that to an Excel file by country and find out, you know, where people are. And you know, when I was going to go to Europe, I want to say, well, how many people do I have there? And when you get the Central Europe, I should say the Western European countries, predominantly the Western European countries, I had almost 800 people on my list from the Western European countries. And at that point in time, I said, well, let me see what else I have in these other places around here. Obviously, a lot of people from Canada. I got about 1,200 people on my list from Canada. I have about 700 people from Australia and New Zealand. But the one that's really surprising is I have almost 800 people from Puerto Rico. All you wonderful folks from Puerto Rico, thank you. Thank you very much. That's a lot from just one small area to have almost 800 people on my list from Puerto Rico. Between the foreign countries and Puerto Rico, you know, that's about 20-25% of the people, I think, that I, well, let me see. Yeah, it would be. 20-25% of the people that are on that active list that I have are from outside of the United States. So it's, I just want to say thank you to all the people from around the world that you participate. And, you know, I'm really looking forward to coming to Europe. And yes, I do want to schedule something in Australia, and yes, all you wonderful folks there in Puerto Rico, yeah. Thank you, in Puerto Rico, yeah, I will. I'll come back there. Let me see what I can do on the schedule, how we can fit this into that. But I'll give you always at least a 2 to 3 months notice to let you know that when I'll be coming. But I have been to Puerto Rico, but it's been almost 3 years since I've been there. Been there twice, but I was there about 3 years ago. And there's such great support from there. It'd be nice to go back. So, yeah. And again, folks, I always, always enjoy being with you live at the workshops. It's where we get to interact with each other and we can really get, you know, some good information on what's going on here. So that's it. That's the currencies update. That's the update about the currencies of what's going on. And so now let's go into and talk about what I wanted to talk about on the topic tonight. You know, there's lots of stuff, information and data that is available out there and all this stuff. There's a lot of stuff that's out there on all the blog sites. And the bottom line reality is that all the blog writers, so far they've been 100% wrong. That have talked about dates and rates and all that kind of stuff. You know, and those are the ones that are always saying, well, the 800 numbers, they're coming out in just a few days or next week, they're going to be right there. Or, you know, they're saying, you know, the banks, the processing centers, they're all there, all 12,000 of them. They've got all their employees in there and they're ready to go. And I'm thinking, yeah, give me a break. So 12,000 processing centers, you got 10 people at each one. That's 120,000 people. Where are these 120,000 people? Where are they? And who's paying for these 120,000 people? Even if it's only 5 at each one of those, who's paying for these 60,000 people to be sitting in these processing centers that you've been talking about for such a long time? And even if they had only 7,000 or 6,000 of these processing centers, there's going to be 400 or 500 here in the state of Arizona. Hello, I don't know of one. And even then, just this week or last week, one of the blog writers were saying they're all being protected and staffed and manned by military. The military are there in uniform with their guns to protect everybody that's coming in. I haven't seen any military around any of those processing centers anywhere around here. I can tell you right now, there's 7,000 in this country. There's going to be at least one here in Sedona. And you know what? We'd know about it. We'd know about it. And because over the years, I've always challenged folks. Tell me, where are they? Just have one, just one of those people to call me or send me an email anonymously to say, hey, I am one of these people that's working at one of these spots. You see, that's the kind of information that keeps coming out, whether it's the information at these processing centers, how many processing centers they have, the 800 numbers are coming out, or they're talking about that the ZIMs, you're going to be able to trade them on a dollar for dollar. And what you paid $50 for, you're going to go in and you're going to get $100 trillion. And you're going to come become a quadrillionaire. And there's going to be thousands of quadrillionaires. And they're actually writing it. But here's the crazy thing. The crazy thing is there's 8,000 to 10,000 people that are reading that and believing it. Does this get crazy and impractical in contrast to getting caught up into the hype and the hopium message and what creates that type of set? Now, that's what's going on the internet. I've had my close sources who never, ever come onto the internet, never post on the internet, never come onto my show, and they've got contacts inside the White House, inside Reno, inside the what are called the intake centers, inside in Hong Kong, inside in Zurich, Switzerland, inside in the Philippines where these funding sources are. And these people are there and they're saying, well, this person says, you know, the money's in his account and he's ready to go. And yet we find out they're wrong. They're just wrong, 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 wrong. And they're never right. Personally, I've come to the point where I've told most of my friends, don't give me any of that stuff until you know it's hard, verifiable fact and evidence. I'm tired of listening to this 100% error reports that we've been listening to now for a couple of years. I don't want to hear it anymore. Because here's what I believe is. The people I'm in touch with are in touch with the office that is controlling this. They don't control the money, but they control when the funds are released here in the United States. And that says, until I hear from them, I'm not listening to anything else anymore. But why does this information, whether it's on the internet or off the internet, why do people keep saying this? Why does this information keep coming out? It was really interesting when I was reading some stuff a couple months ago, and then I started putting all this stuff together. When information comes out that's very stimulating to you, that is very tantalizing to you, that it can be very, very positive information for you, and it's filled with data, it's very stimulating. And what it does, it stimulates the part of your brain that is the same part that gets stimulated through drug addictions, through various type of addictions, whether it's a sugar addiction, a drug addiction, various substance addictions. Data and information that is exciting or stimulating can be just as addictive of the substances that we have. It stimulates the same part of your brain. And you get people that really get excited about this. And see, and that's why I think you can have 8 to 10 to 12 to 15,000 people out there that are reading these blog sites every single day, and they keep reading them, and they never question the integrity of what's being said when it's been 100% wrong, because the information is so stimulating, it turns into an addiction. I remember when I first started this about 4 years ago, I found myself really excited about what was reports that were coming from TNT Tony. I'd get up in the morning, and the first thing I'd want was, what did Tony write about overnight? What did he say last night? And before I go to bed, the last thing I do is check and see, what did he say today? Because of all the stuff that he was saying, it was very stimulating. And I found out that it was kind of controlling me. And it seemed very reasonable when he said, you can exchange your dinar at $3 and $3.50. But when he started going up to $5, and then a week later, it was at $6. And then a week later, it was at $8. And then a week later, it was at $15. And a week later, it was at $20. And it went all the way up to $35 a dinar. I'm realizing, hey, something here isn't real. Something here isn't quite, this takes a reality check. And that's when all of a sudden I began to realize that I allowed myself to get sucked into all this tantalizing information that he kept putting out. But at least I had what I call a check on myself to say, when this gets kind of out of bounds, to really check what's really going on here. How realistic is it that the U.S. governments and the other governments are going to allow thousands, tens of thousands of people to become quadrillionaires? What does that kind of money released into the global economy do? How realistic is it that we can exchange these currencies for these outlandish rates at these processing centers that people have been talking about for 3 and 4 years, whether it's 6,000 or 12,000, and whether 60,000 employees or 100,000 employees, and they never show up? And how realistic is that people are paying these people to sit here in these places for 2 and 3 years? Who's paying for that? How realistic is it that the issues of Nasara that people are constantly talking about and totally believing in, and the channeled messages that are coming out about it, and you look at the implementation of the issues as when the start, it says they're going to be a complete debt elimination all around the world. Well, who's paying for that? Where's that money coming from? It says that we're going to have a complete replacement of all of our government, and we're going to have this new republic government. How realistic is it that 535 members of Congress are going to walk off the job? And you say, well, it's the law. Well, who made that law? Did Congress actually pass a law to basically force themselves to walk off the job? And who's going to enforce that law? The only ones who would have the ability to enforce it, to force 535 members of Congress to walk off the job, is if we had a complete military bloody coup takeover here in the United States. How realistic is that? What would happen when we have 360 million people here in the United States, and only about 2 to 3% understand what Nasara is, and they said this law gets implemented? How realistic is that, and how are the 360 million people or 340 million people going to respond to that? At the end of the day, whether you like it or not, we are still a government of the people and by the people. Maybe we're laxed. Maybe we're not paying attention. Maybe we're not taking control. And because of that, we allow things to happen that are not healthy, that should not be happening, but it's still our responsibility. At any point in time, when the people and their momentum gathers in a collective, they can make a shift and change. And if you think that's not possible, all you got to do is look at our presidential election last November. Who in the world ever, ever, ever thought Donald Trump was going to be the president of the United States? You see, at the end of the day, Nisara is almost, on a practical implemented level, is almost a complete impossibility to happen. It's almost a complete impossibility to think that thousands, tens of thousands of people are going to become quadrillionaires. It's almost a complete impossibility to know that there's 120,000 people out there working in these processing centers just waiting. Yet these reports keep coming out week after week, week after week, month after month, month after month, and year, and never subside. And it's like the people who are reporting this stuff never stop to say, wait a minute, is this for real? Can this really, really happen? And it's not only the people who are reporting it, but it's the over 10,000 people who are listening to it and believing it. Why? Well, to me, it's the classic example of the addiction to data. The data addiction stimulus that's very, very powerful and very stimulating to people. And that's what creates a scenario like this where people keep believing in stuff like that. I have worked very, very hard to make sure that everything that I do has tangible reality to it. That the people that I am talking to are very real, very tangible people that are in positions of expertise and experience for what they do. The bank contacts that I work with are people that have been doing this stuff for 50 and 60 years. Some of the people that I work with are people who have been on these off-market trading platforms for 50 years. These are banks that deal with multi-trillion dollar transactions on a regular basis. That's real-world experience, and these people are not conspiracy people. When it talks about the money, I says, okay, I'm familiar with these five different trusts that are so large that any one of them can write checks and spend their money freely. Any one of them can take over the world. But you want to know what? They can't. They can't even write checks because the governments won't let them. Because at the end of the day, it's not who has the money. It's who has the biggest guns, folks. It's the countries or the entities that have the biggest guns are the ones that are really calling the shots on this. And in our case, it's the government of the United States with its military power. They are going to be the final sayers of when this stuff is going to come forward and when it's going to happen. So when you realize that people keep talking and talking and talking, we begin to realize that there is this, what I call this lack of balance. They're not grounded in what they're doing. I want to go back and follow up where I was almost before I got off there a little bit. When I talk about the money sources, it's because I've been told with the people who are in control of this that this is real money that both the United States and China has been working on the trading platforms, these off-market trading platforms, for over 25 years. That's where they generated these funds to pay for all these currencies and bonds. So it's not some hypothetical account that is out there in the woo-woo land. Or it's not some channeled messages that are basically non-physical, non-tangible that are coming forward and talking about it. And it's not coming from these, you know, channeled sources or these other worldly sources of the elders or witch grandfathers or whoever it is. These are real people with real names that have decades and decades of experience in dealing with this stuff. And also it comes from real, what I call inside intelligence sources. And I want to show you, I do. I can pick up the phone and I can talk to people inside the FBI. I can pick up the phone and I can talk with people who have extensive experience inside the CIA. I can also pick up the phone and talk with some friends that I have that basically are not counterintelligence agents. They train the counterintelligence agents. They are the one that trains the scores and scores of counterintelligence agents for all of our different agencies each year. They have extensive networks of what you would call on the counterintelligence level. And these are the people that I can talk to. Real world, real name, real tangible stuff. Okay? So that's where I come from. When I talk about this stuff, I try to come from what is a very, very tangible perspective. Now, hold on here. I want to take a look at my notes. When we talk about the people that are always talking about this stuff, they're putting out reports that are not tangible. They're not realistic. They sound very good. Where does this really come from? Why do they do this? This is something that comes back to basic psychology 101, but it's something that's a problem with the whole human race, and we've all been involved in this from time to time. What happens is when you develop something as an addiction, It's unconscious. And you basically go down inside to what is called the subconscious level. And at that level, there's a guilt about this. There's a subconscious guilt about the lack of integrity. There's a subconscious guilt about reporting things that are lies and you don't want to admit it. There's a subconscious guilt about feeling that something's not right here, but yet I want to stay very positive. I don't dare go negative because then I'm putting out negative thoughts and it's never going to happen. But what happens when you have what is called this unconscious guilt, what we do is we project it. Instead of dealing with it on the inside, because at a subconscious level it's too painful, we project it out to get rid of it. Projection is always a result of what comes from what is called the unconscious guilt, and we all have it. It's a human race condition. And so what you see is, to make themselves feel better on the inside, there's a projection of projecting stuff out that seems very good, very tantalizing, wonderful news, but it ain't realistic. And we, as a human race, we get caught into that. Now, I'm going to share something with you that's very controversial. There's a lot of people that will disagree with this, and they're not necessarily going to like it. But this is what comes from the information I've been gathering and the information that comes from a lot of my intelligence sources. The people who are projecting these things and that are talking about these things and putting them out on the internet, the people who are what I call the elite power and controllers, they understand this process. They understand if they keep feeding this information that there's going to be people, because of their unconscious guilt, they're going to project it out there to make it sound very good, to be very positive, that yes, you're going to become a multi-trillionaire, if not a quadrillionaire. And they're going to keep saying it. And there's going to be tens of thousands of people that are going to keep believing it because they want to try to be positive. And they want to try to stay unfocused, in spite of the fact that there's about a 0% chance that it's ever going to become a reality. The controllers watch these people. They watch them because they know that people that are that gullible to either believe this or that are that gullible to keep saying it week after week, month after month, and year after year, they're the ones that are very easy for them to control. They keep feeding the information because they know that they're addicted to the data. It's a data addiction. And so they keep feeding the addiction. And when you keep feeding the addiction, they have the ability to control. We live in a world where those that we know, the elite controllers, we've called them the cabal. They have predominantly had two paradigms of how they've controlled the human race. One is through controlling information. They controlled the media. They controlled the education system. They controlled the entertainment system. And all the places where we would get our information that would basically have direct impacts on our everyday lives, they controlled that. Well, what's happening is they're realizing that that paradigm is falling apart. And that's because of the blessing of the internet. Prior to the internet, they controlled all the flow of information. Because of the internet now, we can get information that is contrary to what they're putting out. And we can learn from each other from what we learn on the internet. That's been the blessing of the internet. They're losing that control. There's a second step, though, that they've used, a second paradigm, and it's controlling the power of money. They've been able to control the power of money through the central banking system. And the central banking system is basically designed as a pyramid. We're at the bottom working our jobs in basically slave jobs. And when I say slavery jobs, the jobs control us totally with our time, and we don't have time to do anything else. And the money flows up and up and up to the top, to where it's controlled at the very top by them. And it's the massive power in the elite that controls the money at the top. And they control what gets flowed down to us, and they don't allow us to progress to become too strong. They control the flow of money through the banking system. They create the market expansions. They create the market collapses to be in control. These are the people that know how to become billionaires when markets collapse, such as what happened in the real estate collapse of 2008. They control this money system, and they control the information. Those have been their two predominant paradigms. But these people are not stupid people. They've understood what was coming. And what's happening now is they're beginning to lose the power and control of the financial system because of the cryptocurrencies. They realize that whatever, see, they need this money in their banks because they control its flow going on down through. And if you get half the money on this planet ends up going into the cryptocurrencies instead of to the banks, then they've lost a lot of power and control. They know that. And again, it's the blessing of the advent of the internet. See, what the internet has done, the internet has empowered us, the everyday folks. It's empowered us with information. It's empowering us now to become in control of our money sources and so that we don't have it under their control. But these ruling elite are not stupid. These are the people, you've heard of me about talk about some people that I were aware of that were some of the groups of some of the most powerful scientists in the world. These scientists were, these groups were never public. These are the groups that these scientists were so powerful that no government could control them, but the vast majority of them were benevolent. These were scientists that they're 50 to 100 years ahead of anything that's available to us and to the public, and they know that. These are scientists that would say when you were watching Star Trek 30 years ago, everything that was they could do on Star Trek, we could do for real. They could time travel. They could teleport their bodies. They could move their bodies. They could make things, you know, material items appear right in front of them out of nowhere. Because they understand the power of thought. They understand the power of the energy of thought. And they know how to be able to materialize those things and do that stuff. Well, the cabal and the elite know that too. And so for the last 30 years, they've been watching and observing them and understanding what is coming forward. And here's what is my opinion. The cabal is letting go of the old paradigms of information and money. They're going to release that to us. But their new form of paradigm of power and control, it's using the technology of today to control thought. It's using the technology of today to create an artificial intelligence system. It's using the technology of today to create a world that we saw in the movie of the Matrix series. To create a world of an artificial intelligence, to create a world out there that is not real, but it's all controlled by various forms of technology. And you want to know what? They can do it now. They had the ability to do it 30 years ago, and the technology is advanced where it's so far advanced today, they are controlling people, and they don't even know it. They have the ability, it's what's called the MK Ultra Artificial Intelligence System. They have the ability to use satellites to direct certain electromagnetic energy thoughts down to an individual. They have the ability to use cell phone towers to be able to bring cell phone electromagnetic impulses through your phone or to you directly within a 5 square meter area. That's their future. You see, these cabal people, it's not about the money. They don't need money. They don't need information. They have access to all of it. It's about power and control. And they're realizing the old paradigms are collapsing, but they're moving into the new one. And the new paradigm is the future of artificial intelligence. Now, here's what I'm going to say that's very, very controversial. And I'm very serious about this because I've had multiple discussions about this with my friends in the intelligence arenas. We've been talking about this for months, and I've known this for over a year. I just had never talked about it before because I knew when I did come out with it, it was going to create some very deep controversy. People who are caught up into the constant data addiction, constantly giving information that is that turns out to be false, constantly putting out information that is not realistic, that has very little probability of ever coming into being, you better believe you are the prime suspects for their control. You see, they're already controlling you by the information that they're giving you. You think it's coming from the elders. You think it's coming from channeled sources. You think it's coming from these elite sources of people who know their stuff and that you think you can trust. Well, that's your choice. I'm telling you from the sources that I have and the information that I have, it's the people, the tens of thousands that are getting caught up into believing that they're become overnight trillionaires and quadrillionaires with no opposition. And they're deeply believing that and they're not stopping and thinking through the reality of it. you're already in a form of being mind controlled by believing such senseless, stupid stuff. And you are the prime targets for that happening. Now, when I say that, don't think that I am not aware of it. Because it was about a year ago that I personally had an experience where they attempted to control me. They tried to get me, and I experienced it. I experienced a period of time where I realized I couldn't talk, I couldn't formulate my words, and I was losing control over my thoughts, and I didn't know what was happening. And it really woke me up. It woke me up to start doing the research of what I'm bringing to you tonight. And I realized they tried to get me. But here's the very, very positive thing. There is an antidote. There is a way out. There is a way that you can protect yourself, because these electromagnetic impulsive waves that they bring at us, there is a power energy that you can neutralize that, where you can set up an immunity to yourself. I'm not going to share that here over the internet. If I shared that over here on the internet, I would have a backlash against me. I would probably have people coming after me. One of the things that I haven't shared here on the internet was, it was a few months ago, I had a direct attack on my life and attempt to kill me. They attempted to kill me because they know what I know. They know who I am in contact with, and they know the information that I know, and they didn't want me talking about what I'm saying tonight. But sometimes it's just time. It's time to do that. Now, having said that, it's also important you to know, folks, I don't have any fear. There's no fear here for me. I don't go around thinking about this stuff all day long, because I've known how to build the immunity to it so it doesn't even impact me and it doesn't even affect me. I do talk about that at the workshops. And I do tell you how you can set yourself up to have this type of an immunity. And you better believe that is the thought forms that are coming. That is the control systems that are coming in the future. And they already have the technology to implement it into hundreds of thousands of people, but they're doing it on a step-by-step basis. They test it each step along the way. I understand how they do it through electromagnetic energy. I also understand how they do it with little tiny implants that are so small you can't even see them with the naked eye. They can put these implants into you. You can drink them down. You can be in your foods. You can basically take them in through other ways. And they get into your body and they lodge up against your spine. And then it uses all the energy that's going up and down your spine through all the nerve energy and up and down. That's what empowers it. That's where it gets its power from. It becomes like an extremely small GPS system and an internal microphone. And also then they can send, when it's there, they can really pinpoint your location, and they can send these electromagnetic impulses into that item that then touches and affects the nerves moving up and down your body, and it affects your thoughts. That's what's coming at us. But there is a way out. There is an immune system. I wish I could share that with you tonight. If you do your research, if you listen closely to the sources I've talked about in the past, on past programs, who I pay attention to, if you know who the books that I read, the sources that I read that I've talked about in the past, you can do your own homework and you can figure it out. But I'm sorry, folks, I've already had one attempt on my life, okay? I'm not going to expose myself tonight by really putting out one of the last things that they want me to say. They're not concerned about money. They know about money. They know the power and control of money. They have all the money that they need. When you get these controlling cabal, they don't need money. They got all the money that they need for whatever it is. It's about their ability to have power and control. And they know that the old paradigms are falling away. So they've been, for a couple decades now, they've been looking for the new paradigm of power and control. And the new paradigm is the advancement of our technology systems to control people's thoughts. I said it. Wow. Okay. That's a lot. This is something I've been thinking about for months. But here's the thing is, see, the funds that are going to be released to us are there because we get to people be the people who spread the information to let people make their choices. At the end of the day, it's about choices. It's about the choices that we make. It's at the end of the day, it's about being responsible with how we process the information that's coming into us. At the end of the day, it's about deciding, am I going to listen to this stuff that's so crazy that if I continue to listen to it, I'm setting myself up as a target to end up possibly having them come after me? Because they know if they can control people in being addicted to listening to this stuff, those are their best, their absolute best candidates for the next step of the AI power and control. And I'm not the only one who talks about this. You can do your research and you will find that there are other sources that talk about this on the internet as well. It's the form of the artificial intelligence, power and control over the human race, and that's the next development of where the elite does their power and their control. We think we can just get rid of the cabal. But I'm sorry, they're pretty strong, they're pretty powerful, they've been in their positions for thousands of years. They're not just walking away. They're just moving away. They're making us think that they're walking away because they're giving up their old paradigms and we're controlling the old paradigms, and we think that the old paradigms is power and control, but it's not. We're in a world that's shifting and changing, okay? All right. Well, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to start going to some of the callers. And I'm going to go to my first buddy here again that I always kind of bring on to the air for a little bit, Jason. And he's here. Let's see. He's coming up. Jason, you're there. You're on the air. Can you hear me, buddy?
Hey, buddy boy. How are you?
Yes. Okay. I put it out there tonight, bud.
I hear.
You and I have had these conversations.
So. Yes, we have. We have had plenty of these for sure. And, you know, many times, Dave, when you get to talking about this stuff, I just sit and listen and I absorb it and I walk away and I kind of go, yeah, okay, that's good. That's good, too. And you've helped me in some areas, too. Like, I know for sure I'm completely guilty of walking around every day going, you know, where can I look, where can I call, who can I get an update from? And then I finally got to a point where I cut about 80% of that out. And then after our talk a couple of days ago, I cut all of it out. And just like you said, you have your one really good true source, 50, 60 years in the business, blah, blah, blah. I've got one source too. It's Dave Schmidt. And other than that, I've told everybody that I talk to, people from the White House, blah, blah, blah. I don't want to hear from them. So I've certainly not put my life on hold. You know, I mean, we're still doing our things every day, but we haven't been in a growth mode by any means in our lives. And but we're just kind of moving on. We're excited. This is definitely real. It's happening, and it's going to happen when it's going to happen. So to hear you talk about it, it's always good.
And let me be clear about that. I still listen to them, but I don't put any attachment into what they're telling me. I don't ground it. I don't get caught up into it. I just let it be there. And if it does get to be a little bit of annoying, I say, don't tell me until you know you got something that's tangible. Let me hear the tangible stuff. Not just, you know, when it's tangible, I'm more than willing to listen to it. But, you know, I don't want to shut myself down because then it still keeps me aware of what's going on there. And then I have an awareness scenario of what's taking place. And there's nothing wrong with reading the blog sites. It's just folks just don't attach yourself to it. If you feel you want to be aware of what they're saying, that's fine. Don't allow it to be a barometer for you that you can judge how realistic is this. Is this realistic? And then it gives you a barometer you can use to find something else that is more practical and tangible and realistic. And I don't have to be your only source. There's lots of other good sources that are out there. Just don't attach yourself to it to where it becomes a form of an addiction, where you got to have it. You got to have data. You got to have information. You know, that's when you know it's dangerous.
Yeah. And you also, you know what, I can tell your listeners from firsthand experience that if you get to that point where it does have some attachment, it can affect your attitude. I mean, it can absolutely affect your attitude, and it can create negative energy around that. And that is something I don't want. So all my energy is positive today. You helped me with that big time a couple of days ago on the phone. I'm very appreciative of that. And also, you helped me again last week. You told everybody on your call last week, if they are sitting around with Dinar, which I was, I've turned in Dinar.
Jason, let me interrupt you here. Okay, just let me interrupt
you. Okay.
I had somebody send me a text saying that they can't hear you. Can you turn up the volume on your computer or your? Are you talking on the phone or on your? Or are you? Do you have this on? I think
no,
you were listening.
I'm talking on the phone. I did have it on speaker. I will take it off of speaker. And
well,
but I'm on the phone. And
can you hear yourself that you're coming through?
I can.
So that's an individual's issue. It's not a total issue out there because I did have somebody text me saying they couldn't hear you. Well, I'm saying, folks, then that's your sound system, okay? Because if I was not able to hear you, my text would be, you know, if they couldn't hear you, the text would be coming in and the emails would be coming in. But I just wanted to double check. Okay, so we're good. Go ahead.
Yeah, you'd have probably 10 people or more. anyway, so I did exactly what you said last week. I took all the rest of my dinar. I set up my little RA with Safe Dinar. I sent it in. The stuff I had was uncirculated bills. And you know what? Today I got an email that they are overnighting me a check, which I'll have tomorrow. And honestly, I have plenty of Vietnamese dong. So I am putting that into cryptos. And I've been doing very well. In the crypto market, I've been doing very, very well. I've been watching it 5-6 hours a day. I've been doing lots of research. I've been getting in on ICOs and different things. And so, and I've also got a lot of it that I've moved, you know, my personal reserves into crypto, and I've now put those into cold storage. And those are on, you know, some of the main stuff that is going to be big down the road and already is big now, Bitcoins and that kind of thing, Ethereum. And so that's what I'm doing with it. I said, you know what? I'm going to take this money and do something with it today. I've got plenty of Vietnamese dong. I've got dong turned in already. I've got dinar turned in. And that was a great, great recommendation. For anybody out there, I'll just say to you, the process was, if you follow the directions and read everything on the screen, I find that most people don't, it's absolutely seamless, and it was fantastic. Is that another text that they can't hear me?
No. I've had four of them now come in and say, no, they can hear you fine. So,
good.
And if I can kind of repeat, you know, what you said, what I said last week. Now, folks, what you do obviously is your choice. You get to do what you want to do. But just simply do the math. If you've got a lot of dinar, what we're beginning to hear from some of our buyer sources is that, you know, dinar may be drying up. And there isn't going to be, they aren't going to be buying any dinar in the second round. And it's because it was so overprinted and so oversold. But just even forget that. To buy 1 million dinar will cost you 13 times more US dollars than 1 million dong. And the dong is not trading at 13 times the amount of dinar. You could sell your dinar at a 25% loss, take that money, go buy dong with it, and you're still going to end up with over twice what you would have with the dinar that you had. So it's just a common sense issue on dollars, on just doing the math, let alone that you may end up being stuck with a bunch of either nice wallpaper or toilet paper and that there's nobody's going to buy it from you. It's because of the fact that I am aware through my networks of people that have tens of thousands of boxes. I am aware of at least 5 different people that all have over 100,000 boxes of dinar. And each box has a billion dinar in it. So you're talking 100,000 billion. And I know more than 5 people that have that much. And they have it. When you got that type of a volume, it begins to just overshadow anything at our level because we're like less than pennies when they're talking $100 bills, you know, with the volume that they have. And so the buyers don't really have any interest in us at all because of the volume that's out there. It's just kind of a practical safety, common sense, best use of your money scenario to sell your dinar and go buy some dong with it. And there'll be people who will buy it from you. There's that one company, safedinar.com, that will buy it at a 75% rate, or you can go out and sell it on eBay. But because you used Safe Dinar, didn't you, Jason? Isn't that what you had done?
Yeah, and they literally overnighted me a cashier's check today. I'll have it in my hands tomorrow by 10 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
And with that money, Dave, I could go out and I could buy somewhere between 80 and 90 million dong. Yeah. I mean, it's just insane how much more Vietnamese dong I could buy based on the based on the dinar that I turned back in. Now, yes, I did take a 25% loss on what I paid for it, because I think I paid about $1,000 per million on those a few years back. But that's irrelevant. Right now, it's just been sitting. It's been sitting. So in cryptos, heck, if you just put it in Litecoin, you're going to be good. If you put it in Ethereum, you're going to be good. It's going to double, triple while it's just been sitting. So, yeah. You know, if you put it in a Vietnamese dong, if you need dong, then you're good to go. I have plenty of Vietnamese dong. Don't need any more dong right now. So, but yeah, it was a very good thing. And I mean, literally last week before your show had even ended, I'd already done everything online and I was waiting to send it in the next day on FedEx. And now I got a check coming. So it's really great.
Good.
Great tip there.
Okay.
And, I wanted to ask you one thing about the exchange, something that came across my mind today that I continue to keep hearing from people. And I really just want to get your opinion, not that you know or don't know, but just what your opinion might be. I'm hearing quite a few people that either know someone or let's just leave it at that. And they're getting word that that person has had money put in their account with a hold. Can't access it, can't touch it. And I'm hearing quite a few people say that. And I'm just wondering, it kind of like roused up a thought in my brain of maybe they're going to do this kind of thing, get all the money in place everywhere where it needs to be, push a button, start everything at one time. Any thoughts on that?
Well, I've been hearing some of the same stuff, but yet I've still come up with any hard, tangible person that can tell me that they've actually got it. But there are people that are saying, you know, they got the money in the bank and it's on hold and they can't do anything with it. We just don't know, really know about how or when, because here's what I'm finding out. Government oversees this process, but they do not micromanage the process. And that's when I've been saying multiple times, every contract is different and it can be a different scenario with every buyer that you have out there. Your buyer may have one scenario that can be different from others. And sometimes some of these buyers, they are releasing some funds into bank accounts to be on hold to wait for it to come forward because they've had money that they could do that with. And it's kind of a little bit of a carrot stick scenario possibly for some of that. But I have yet to find anybody that's been really tangible that's happened to. But let me make this comment. I know some of you are emailing me and saying that you can't hear Jason. And I've had a lot of you email me and text me saying that you can. So, folks, I've done everything that is here on my end that I know what to do. And if you can't hear him, I think it's something with the audible on your end. You might want to check your different types of settings, or you might want to change your browser or something like that, because the vast majority of the people are saying they can hear him. It's only a very small number that are saying that they can't hear him. Yeah. Okay. With that comment also, I had gotten some comments from a couple of people, you know, last week that said that the radio program that was in there last week, that it would go in and out. Part of the time the sound was good, another time that wasn't. But folks, remember, I had over 3,000 people listen to the radio program last week, and I only had two or three people tell me that. So the vast majority of the time, if you've got problems, it's something that's on your end, because if it was something that was across the board, I would be hearing it from scores of people. That it was a problem. Okay. So, but yeah. Okay. Jason, go ahead.
Yeah. So the only other thing I was going to ask you to do this week, Dave, and I mean, I'll ask you and then I'll jump off your line if you want, you can get on to the next callers. But I know last week at the very, very last caller with 45 seconds to go, you went through a scenario that I know a lot of people missed and were already gone that you said, oh man, I meant to cover that on the show. Do you remember that, where you were talking about Obamacare? And you were talking about what you had heard possibly took place during the Obamacare or whatever, and you said, oh, I meant to cover that on the show, and it was like the last call. I was wondering if you could go through that again.
Well, the reports that I have heard, now I don't have this absolutely good firsthand, but what I had heard is that it was the Obama administration through the Obamacare bill had basically slipped some amendments into the bill that basically prevented any of this from happening. I did have a woman that sent me an email saying, how could that have happened, because Obamacare was passed in 2010. Well, yeah, the bill may have been passed in 2010, but once every year they do a budget bill. And it's very easy for – and the budget bill is tens of thousands of pages long. And it's very easy for a staff member to have slipped an amendment in there with some disgusting language that goes into the part of the U.S. code where the Obamacare bill was, made a slight change to that, and then made this illegal. It doesn't have to be a bill by itself. I mean, I learned through the legislative process that sometimes some of the masters at the process were the ones who knew how to slip amendments into stuff to really get when they wanted, when they knew the majority wasn't going to outright vote for it, or they didn't want to vote for it publicly, but it went through in a quiet amendment. Those were the really good, craftful legislators who knew how to do that stuff. I never got to that point, okay? But that happens. That does happen because, you know, there are staff that are seasoned staff people, and they get bought out, and they will slip these quiet amendments into legislation that put something in the law, and you don't even know about it until it's too late. And the word was that had happened through the Obama administration. That's why we had a lot of the delays. And then what had happened, it was in March, Trump's administration was able to basically slip some bills or amendments through that undid it. They undid that part of the law. And that's why we're able to move forward. But that's been one of the major reasons why we've had delays on this. Now, that's how it's been explained to me. Did it actually come? I don't know. But that's how it's been explained to me. Okay?
Nice. Dave, listen, have a great week, buddy. Talk to you soon. Let somebody know.
All right.
Call.
Thanks a lot. Bye-bye. Okay. Thanks, Jason. Okay. Bye-bye. Okay. I'm going to go ahead and go to a caller that is obviously coming in with Skype with all ones. There's no phone number there. Here you are. You're on the air with Dave. What can I help you with? Hello. Hello. I can hear your noise in the background. Are you there? Well,
I'm on Skype.
Yes, I am
on Skype.
Skype,
Dave.
Yes, I can. You're a little bit scratchy, but go ahead.
This is Josie from Florida.
Okay.
Can you hear me now?
You're coming through pretty scratchy. Do you have a quick question that I can answer for you?
Well, the question is this. When we get our money, when are you going to have us send our money in? So for you to start the putting the packages together.
Not until at least 2 to 3 months after round one is finished being funded. First of all,
round one
has to be funded
right.
First. We will be able to make those announcements that yes, round one is in the process of being funded. I don't know how long that's going to take. But after round one is funded, it's going to take us at least 2 months to set up a system to be able to start receiving the currencies from you guys.
Are we going to be able to? Know that? I thought round one was already funded for you.
No. Nobody's
no
been
kidding.
Funded.
Okay. Nothing's been funded. All right.
Nothing's
now,
been funded.
What about the 80%? Did you say 80% goes to charity?
It depends upon the contract. Everything in the contract is different, and we won't know the specifics of those contracts until I get a funding source. But you need to assume that the 20-80 principle is going to apply somewhere in there.
Okay. Now, when we send, I have a lot of things. Do I need to write a prospectus, or do I just need to name the agencies in which I want the money to go to?
It all depends. Depends upon the details and what is there. And what we'll do is that we will assign a staff person to you, and they will work with you on a one-on-one in how you want, you know, that money that's in the escrow account, how you want it to be spent. We work with you on that.
Okay. Well, listen, Dave, I thank you for your courage and for your forthrightness. I've been with you for 4 years. I remember when you were helping the other guy and you backed out, and I should have known things were not good. But I thank you for taking us on now. And
okay,
I appreciate all your hard work.
All right. Have a wonderful evening. Okay.
You too.
Right.
Bye. It's Josie.
Bye-bye. Okay. Okay. Because I don't have Blanca here tonight, I just go right straight to the folks because we don't get to screen you in advance. So I'm going to go to the next person here. Area code 702. Area code 702. You're here on the air with Dave. What can I help you with tonight?
Yeah. Hi, Dave. Can you hear me?
I can hear you just fine.
Okay, good. A couple of things that I wanted to run by you. The one just came up, which was about how the holdup was in the Obama administration because how things had been written into the Obamacare bill, and and then how the Trump administration changed that. What I've never seen, and I just, and maybe you said it, but I wanted to get through to it. I've never heard of anybody or seen anything where there was an actual published something of what was in the bill that held things up and what was changed. Have you ever seen anything like that or talked to anybody who's actually seen it?
No, but I think it's back to what I had said on the previous caller. Some of these bills have thousands and thousands of pages in it, and there's no way that the members have the ability to read it. But the language can be very deep, and a staff person can end up putting some obscure language in a bill that is unrelated, because let's say it's a finance bill and it has to do with finance stuff, but it's put into a section in the code that has to do with the Obamacare bill that was already in law. It's basically the amendatory process. The process of using amendments to change law. And that is very, very probable, and it could have been, but I don't have time to go do that research. I would have to go back and look at all the bills and read them all and understand them all from years back. It would take me weeks upon weeks to do that research personally. Somebody wants to do that, that's fine. I don't know. I'm only telling you what I have been told. Where it is, I don't know.
Got it. Okay, well, the reason I was asking that is because that leads to my next question, which is after that first that information first began coming out that back in March that this had changed, and then kind of by the week several times over that period of time, and certainly in the last couple of weeks, why you've kind of felt like this following week we were going to see some action, and then the following week, it was things are imminent, and now, you know, with like, it seems like you've just gone to the equation of booking more and more seminars throughout the total of the year, and you know, loading those up, which anybody would understand. We all have to make a living and et cetera, but it seems like that is more the focus than anything that's happening currently. But maybe I have that wrong.
No. Well, first of all, let me be very clear. My scheduling of workshops has absolutely nothing, and I want to say, repeat this, absolutely nothing to do with when I'm assuming when we're going to get paid. I'm going to do the workshops whether we get paid in 2 weeks or in 2 years. I'm still doing those, and I will still do those. If I get paid in 2 weeks, I'm still doing them for the next 2 and 3 years. I just shift and change some of the information that's in there. And really, let's say, you know, those of us in round one get paid, you know, in the next, you know, month, and, you know, round two is going to be 2 and 3 months out from that. That's when you really want to be able to come to the workshops, because that's when I can really tell you what's really going on and what really happened. And again, I have to be extremely careful about what I say over the internet in contrast to what I can say verbally at a workshop. And that's what comes down, you know, from my sources, because, you know, they've already attempted to kill me once. I don't want to make that mistake again, or I should say not make the mistake. I don't want to put myself into that position again. Okay. So we just don't know. And I'm not saying anything new because there is nothing new to say. There is nothing new of hard specific data that's shifted and changed in the last 3 and 4 months. I don't know of any new data other than we're just waiting, but it's very close. I don't have anything else to say other than that. And I don't go around putting out the data that's going to create the addictions like everybody else does. I won't go there. I won't do that. You see, I've had some people saying, well, why haven't you had these conference calls? And I said, I don't do conference calls for the sake of doing conference calls. And I don't put out data for the sake of putting out data. I share with you what I know. And if something new specific comes up, yeah, I'll share that if I can. If not, if I'm being quiet about it, it's usually pretty good news.
Final question, Dave, because
sure.
I know over a period of time there, it seemed like you were kind of regularly in and out, going back and forth with Reno, but lately have not seemingly been there as much. Is there is there some kind of reason behind that, or what do you know that's happening with Reno?
Nothing new that I can't tell you. I talk to them almost a day, but there's nothing I can tell you. Just because I haven't been there doesn't mean anything's changed. I don't have to be there for this stuff to happen.
Right.
Be real careful that you're not reading stuff into there that you don't know about. You want a lot of people want to start reading stuff into what I'm saying, and it's not true. If I could tell you it, give the information, I would give it to you. If I don't have anything to say, it's because there's nothing new that's developed. That's actually pretty good news. Just because I haven't gone to Reno doesn't mean stuff happening is there. I talk with them almost every day.
All right, Dave. Hey, thank you
okay.
for the information.
All righty.
And we'll catch up with you in a week or so.
All right, thanks. Okay, bye-bye.
Okay, bye.
Okay. All right, going to the next caller. Area code 202. Area code 202, you're on the air. What can we help you with tonight?
Yes. Hi, Dave. We love you so much. Oh, my goodness. And every time that we hear that you're having, you know, trouble and problems with people calling you a scam artist and all of those things, it just breaks our heart. And we always defend you and say that one thing we could say about Dave Smith is he's very sincere. And so anyway, my question is actually along those lines. We've come a mighty long way with you, Dave, and many of the groups that you're in. So we know all, you know, the behind the scenes stuff, and people up the many, many levels higher that you've come from. And so my question is, you have this mass following of people, and we know that your heart really wants to help them. And if you could, if there was a possible way that I'm sure that you would help everyone to get in on the tier one level, the round one, and it seems that someone is telling you that that's closed out and all of these people have to miss out. They have to wait for a possible second round and possibly wait to go to the bank, and you aren't sure that any of that is going to happen. But it's very strange to us because we're still in the intake process at the tier one level. And as a matter of fact, just another 25 additional organizations we've been helping to get in. So I'm curious, is this a strategic play because you have so many people following you that someone is, you know, preparing to possibly make money off of them later, and that's why they're saying that there is no room on the tier one, round one, because it's closed? Because it's just not true. We're still taking people in. So I'm a little confused. And can you explain
are
that?
You
and if there's
are you taking their currencies in?
Yes, sir. Packages, documents, currencies, and that's why we were just a little confused. And we love listening to you. I know you're sincere. I do not believe that you would mislead people. So I don't want to get anyone in trouble. So I'm going to, you know, cut this short. But if you could just explain, is tier one actually closed, is what you're saying, that someone is telling you to lead all of these thousands of people to believe, or is it just a strategic play because there's a greater plan for all of these people, so it's prepared for them to miss the tier one so that perhaps someone can make money off them later? I know there's a long chain of broker jokers who have been tricking people in all of these groups, claiming to be high and mighty. You know, plenty of people that you know that I know. And each one behind the scenes, trust me, we've heard them all. Each one call each other a scam artist and that they're tricking the people. They've said the same about you. And then we see them partnering together, joining their groups together, splitting their groups apart. It's really ridiculous. But I could attest that tier one is still taking people in, not just round one, but tier one. So.
Well, remember, every contract is different, and you can have somebody who's taking currencies in, but is there a buyer that's going to send that money out to them in the next 2 to 4 weeks? Are they going to get paid in the next 2 to 4 weeks? See, that's the issue. I don't know. All I know is the brokers and the buyers that I work with, and I work with the largest currency brokers in the world. Everything ends up going to one office here in the United States. Everything does. And the word that had come down from that office was 2 weeks ago, they quit taking anything in. They aren't taking anything else in at all. And when I say it's all the buyers and the brokers that I've worked with, that tier one, I mean, round one was closed a long time ago. If you had current contracts with them, some of them allowed you to add to that contract, but they weren't taking any new people in. You could possibly have brokers out there that are taking in currencies, and they're taking it to basically get into an early jump. Now, I'm the one who defines these terms, rounds one and round two. I don't know anybody else using a round two terminology. It's what I use for my folks, and I can only tell you what I know. And I know this stuff is so big, there's lots of different levels that are out there, and there's buyers and brokers out there that I don't know who they are, and I don't know what they're doing, and every contract is different. I can only tell you what I can tell you. If you've got someone that's taking it in, that's fine. And as long as you know that you've got a buyer that's going to be able to pay you, and where's that buyer going to get, come up with the hundreds of trillions of dollars to pay you? Where are they going to get that money? You know, that's the question you got to ask.
Okay. Now, my last question for you, if it is true and Tier 1 is taking more people, and it is the office or the top people who pushes the buttons and controls everything that you know about. If that's so, are you willing to help all of your people? And of course, you have my information. You could always
no, because I don't have a buyer and a broker who's taking anybody in. I don't.
If we turn you on to that, I'm just curious if you're willing to help all of your people, or do you prefer them to just wait until later?
People can do whatever they want to do. You don't have to come through me. There's no, you don't have, if you've got someone else that you can trust, all I say is you better ask them, where are they getting their money? Where's their money coming from? And is it tangible dollars that can pay them? Because there's a lot of buyers and a lot of brokers out there that think they have contacts, but they don't have tangible dollars.
Exactly.
And a lot of them.
Exactly.
You see, and that I don't know. And I'm not saying that there are not others out there that do. They might. I'm not going to come onto my program and basically recommend to another broker or buyer. I don't do that. I don't get involved in other people's issues. It's not safe for me to do that legally.
Yes.
But if you want to do it, and if you know somebody, and if you want to share that, and if you
sharing it with you in private. Yeah, with you, and then you can help your people if you choose
to. No, I won't do that.
But you can.
I will not send anybody on my list to another one. They have to find that source themselves. You know, that's a serious legal issue. If I recommend to say you go to this broker and that buyer or broker doesn't deliver, I'm in serious legal problems. I won't touch that. That's an individual's responsibility for them to find that for themselves. Don't ask me to refer you to another broker or buyer that I am not working with. I won't do that. I don't want to end up
in
jail.
Okay. You're a good guy. You're a good guy. No. You won't.
At the end of the day, we all need to make our own decisions, and we all need to be responsible for what I'm doing. And everything I do, I make sure that we have legal contracts that protect us in the process with the brokers and the buyers that I work with. I make sure that there is a recourse for all of us should some of this fall apart, that we would have a form of a legal recourse. It doesn't mean we'd always get our money back, but we would at least have an attempt to go through a legal recourse. And everything is done with legal contracts. And I've come to the point where I don't talk about other brokers and buyers. I never mention their names, and I will not refer anybody on my list to them. They need to find that themselves.
Okay, that's good.
Mm-hmm.
Well, thank
okay.
you, Dave. And again,
right.
You're such a good guy. Thanks a lot. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Okay, bye-bye. Okay, let's see. Wrong one there. I clicked on the wrong button. Now we're going to go to one more caller at area code 909. Area code 909, you're on the air. What can we help you with?
Hi, Dave. Listening for a while. This is my first time calling in. I just had a few questions for you.
Sure.
So the last call kind of confused me a little bit. Is there still dinar and dong exchange contracts a possibility for people on your list for the humanitarian projects?
For round two, yes.
Okay.
But I cannot guarantee that there's going to be anything in the dinar. That's starting to, but the dinar is starting to look very improbable because there was just way too much other. You remember, at the end of the day, somebody has to buy it from us. And that somebody has to have hundreds of trillions of dollars to pay us. So where do they get that kind of money that's real tangible and very real? And what I'm, from my sources, are the real tangible dollars that are going to go into the dinar. They're not going to come to us at our level. They're only buying the stuff in the very, very large volumes of the thousands and thousands of boxes. That's all they're buying anymore in dinar. That's why I've said you may want to consider selling that and go buying dong instead.
All right. I'll definitely consider that. And another question, is there a way these funds and contracts are going to be directed towards humanitarian programs that preserve the natural world or even rebel against the artificial world?
What you do with those money is your business. We don't micromanage where you're going to put the money for the humanitarian aid contracts. It's just knowing the intention is to put it to work in a useful manner so that money is being spent that stimulates an economy. We're not going to tell you or micromanage what you do with that money.
Okay, so as long as it's something under the category of humanitarian, you're pretty much for it.
And it can even be a little bit more than just humanitarian. It can be spending money to help other people. And sometimes it's starting a business, you know, and that's fine.
Okay.
The issue is your money gets spent. Because when you spend it, it has what is called the rollover factor and stimulates the economy around the world. And you put it to good work. You put it to work in that you're spending it into a good manner, and it's not something that's criminal activity or dark activity or something like that.
Okay. And it was really nice to hear you mention today about the artificial intelligence. I did read the Palladian Prophecies book, and it's a really interesting revelation, so I would definitely recommend it to your listeners if they're confused about the energies that are going on here. That's a great place to start.
There's a lot of stuff that is out there on the coming artificial intelligence, and when I use the word coming, I'm using that lightly because really it's been around for 30 years or longer. And it's to the point now where the technology is so advanced it's going on and you don't even know it. You have to be really sensitive to yourself, to your feelings and your emotions. You have to learn to move into what is becoming an intuitive person. An intuitive person where you are aware and you're in touch with your thoughts, your sensations, and your emotions, your feelings that are going on in the world around you. If you are at that place, you'll pick up this stuff very quickly. If you aren't aware of that, of your own life at an intuitive level, you're a prime target for them to control you. Prime target.
Well, I've been through a tap and made it through it.
Yeah.
I understand what you're going through.
If you're a person who's asleep to what's going on in what I call the shadow world, and you're just out there functioning, you know, in what our culture throws out there is what's supposed to be a fun life. You're a prime target for artificial intelligence. And
I live a very different life than the mainstream. But I really appreciate what you're doing, and thank you.
Okay. All right. Okay. Thanks a lot.
Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye-bye. That's all the people that I had that said they wanted to come on the program tonight. So, folks, thank you very much for listening here. I hope I didn't say too much that was too much of concern. I just didn't want to touch a little bit what I said there. This issue of artificial intelligence, there's lots of information out there that you can do your research on that's out there available on the internet. Just be aware, be perceptive of what it is you're taking in and what you're listening to. The most important thing is don't allow yourself to get caught up into fear. Fear is your greatest opposition. Fear would be your greatest problem. Fear is what will make you more susceptible to that than almost anything else. Because when you're operating at a place of fear, your whole intuitive senses are coming down to shutting down at a very low level to be aware of what's going on in you. Because it so dominates your thought process, you're not aware of what's really taking place. The important thing is to be in that place of peace. Be in a place where you know you're in control. Be in a place where you're not letting other things out there and around you control your thoughts and your emotions. Be the master of that within your own life. When you get to do that, then you can be very much aware of what's coming at you and what's going on around there. And again, it's what I can share at the workshops. And I do. I've been sharing this at workshops now for at least 2 to 3 months about this process. I share this. It's a part of the program that I share about the coming artificial intelligence world and how we can be immune to that and how we can shut ourselves off, that we have this form of an immunity that we build up around ourselves that it doesn't even affect us. So, but that's the coming world. And the Matrix series of the movies displayed that very, very clearly. And what it's coming in. And in fact, if it's not, it's already here in some forms. So, and what we get to do as the people who receive these funds is to have the resources to counter that message. We have the resources to be able to help counter that proposition. And it's about an education system, and it's about people being open and listening, willing to listen. It's about us as a collective waking up to the reality of the world that we live in, so you don't stay asleep of what's going on out there. Okay? Okay, folks, I think that's all that I got here for tonight. We're running or closing up the program a little bit early here tonight because, I haven't had anybody else that's calling in that wants to be there. So, all right, folks, what I'm going to do, I'm going to go ahead and shut down the live YouTube video, and it's nice to be back live on YouTube, and we will see you next week on that. Thank you very, very much. That should be shutting down right there. And then I'm going to go over to the radio program and strike up the music. Thank you. Good night.